At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, December 10th, 2020. The Beating the Book podcast, Megapod for week number 14. Can't believe that. For the National Football League, of course. Thanks for tuning in once again. I've had a ball with this all season long. We continue to have a blast with this. Haven't seen a penny, Mikey, with the good folks over.
We haven't.
That's right. We haven't. I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Right here on the Megapod. Appreciate it. I think I had a big week last week. Todd's going to update that momentarily. As always, the regulars on the show. What are you?
You're way out. I'm dejected now. I've blown the lead. You've zoomed past me. I can't beat 1-2. I'm 1-2 for like four straight weeks.
I know. I'd like to brag, but I'm like 2017-2 or something. So it's not that much to brag about. That's the voice of Mike Palm, the consigliere to Derek Stevens here at Circus Sports, vice president of operations. Thank you, Mikey, for having us at the D, where we are live each and every week.
It's exciting to be at Bar Canada. Exciting to have a Canadian on.
Yes, an actual Canadian.
A real live Canadian.
Let's say hello to Todd Wishnev first, the other staple of the show. Hello, Todd. How are you, Todd?
Hi, Gil. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Star of the Showtime action, or docuseries action. And the actual Canadian that you're talking about, because we're coming from Bar Canada here at the D. I believe it's in Alberta, Canada. Am I correct in that? Is that correct, Adam?
Alberta, Canada. Yes, indeed.
The great Adam Chernoff, who I have never had the pleasure of meeting before. I've never had the pleasure of having him on the podcast. He is the host of The Simple Handicap, wherever podcasts are distributed. It is a must-listen, especially in the year of COVID, to have updates on a daily basis. You do a spectacular job with that. You do a spectacular job on VSiN, on Follow the Money. Adam, thank you for doing this, man.
Thanks for having me on. It's the Megapod. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So before we get into the three best bets and our teaser legs, Survivor thoughts, and, of course, the final two questions about which big favorite is most likely to lose outright, which game you want no part of, Mikey, a Circa Survivor, and if you want to, a Circa Millions update, if you'd like.
Well, the Millions, how could you pick a loser? I mean, 150 people went 5-0. And
I managed to pick a loser.
881 people are 4-1 or better to start out the fourth quarter. So
I'm like Kramer on the final quarterly. I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's where that stands. And the presence, the guy that has three entries, he's in first, third, and tied for 10th.
Adam, are you in Circa Millions?
I am not. Not involved in any contest.
Not involved in any contest.
Right. If I lived a little bit closer, potentially that would change.
Yes.
Now, in the Survivor, we went from 103 down to 89 with 12 entries going the way of the Dodo on the Seahawks, who were upset by the Giants, and another two on Monday with your football team rallying from 14-0 down with the help of a missing K-ball to upset the Steelers and end their undefeated season. So we're down to 89, of which 82 have the Seahawks available.
Yes.
This week, laying 14 against the Jets at home.
Yes. So this week comes down. So I look at it this way, as one of the final 89 people in there. Or it's actually 84 people, but 89
five,
entries.
Yeah.
Five with two. This is the final week where there is either no carnage at all, because everybody's going to take the Seahawks and they end up winning, which is very possible to be the Jets, or it's supreme carnage in that everybody takes the Seahawks and somehow they manage to lose that game. But this is the final week where I think it's the last week where everybody's got the obvious team available. After this, it's going to get very interesting. 23.5, still my over-under on the chop.
I like my number to 29.5.
Todd's going under on both of us.
James Salinas, your friend mm-hmm. and professional contest player.
Yeah.
And a co-host of the Mike Pritchard Power Hour on VSiN.
Yes.
said that my number was super sharp, that he put it right at 30. And it was based on seven people last week having two entries still, the multiple entries. Amal is convinced it's 65 now. He went up from 50 to 65 after last week.
People don't understand. There's still a quarter of the season left. Now, after this week, it's going to go.
Week 17 will be very difficult because you have to assess who's trying to play.
Correct.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And hopefully you're down to, you know, a few enough people, if you're still in, that your hedge can be pretty obvious.
And circa millions. Las Vegas Chris, who was nice enough to be the guest on the Megapod last week, mentioned to me that people should know, because he's got two entries in contention. If you're at the top of circa millions, know that the tiebreaker is the last quarter. Mm-hmm. And so you've kind of already virtually lost a half game before you even start here.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's tiebreakers there. No tiebreakers in Survivor.
Why'd you decide on that tiebreaker, by the way? Because you couldn't think
of anything. We wanted one person to win $1 million.
Yeah.
We wanted to give a check for $1 million.
Okay. All right. Makes sense.
I understand why you survived with the, and that's why I have this background up for you in the Raiders game. I thought about it long and hard, and now I finally realize what happened. Last week, I was winning every single early game bet, which I did win, except for one, which was the Houston Texans +3 against the Colts. And the Texans were inside the 5-yard line late in the game. All they have to do is punch it in. They go up by one. They end up losing by two on a field goal, or they end up winning the game. And I cover every single game. Now, because Hashem doesn't like me, he won't let me get a full slate of bets all to win. So, and then the law of physics says that energy cannot be, you know, lost or gained. It can only be transformed. So the energy that was being used to wipe me out in that football game was then no longer available when Greg Williams' brain needed to tell them to be in prevent, therefore allowing for the most ridiculous ending in the history of a football game and you surviving in Survivor. So that's probably the only
explanation. I wish you had a camera on me when my eyes saw Henry Ruggs go past Lamar Jackson and that ball was in the air. I went ballistic. By the way, two things. One, for those who are like, what is Hashem? Hashem, again, the Hebrew for the name, which is what Orthodox Jews, Todd was one of them once upon a time, call God. And Todd believes that Hashem has a lifelong vendetta against him. Todd's lifespan.
I don't really believe in the old man with a scoreboard yes. type of God, but I just do it as a joke because we always joke around about how I find a way to lose to an earthquake.
Right.
Lose to this.
It's only you who gets bad beats, Todd. Only you.
Of course. It is only me. No, let's put it this way. Everyone gets a certain percentage of bad beats. I get fifth standard deviation.
Okay, I don't know about that. This is where I go to Adam, though, because on the simple handicap, Adam has done a spectacular job of laying out what happened at the end of that game. And I think it was in the prism, you correct me if I'm wrong, Adam, of people who thought it was a tank. You had a whole thing about this.
Yeah, so I'm a lifelong Jets fan from Saskatchewan, Canada, which makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
But they've always been my team. But like Greg Williams has a history of doing this. And he essentially did it the entire 2017 season with the Browns, who also happen to have sort of a similar record to the Jets, which hopefully they don't finish with. But like, remember when he did that whole angel safety thing where he was playing a guy like 30 yards off the line of scrimmage up a touchdown against Aaron Rodgers and thought it was a good idea? And he just let the Packers walk down the field twice in the fourth quarter in overtime.
Yes.
And he didn't really, nobody was talking about tanking like we are now at that time, and he sort of got a pass for it. And so I think now he's doing essentially, or was doing, the exact opposite with the Jets when he's bringing zero blitz against the Raiders in that situation, against Derek Carr, who's like the last quarterback you're going to do that against. But what's the benefit of him, who's getting a salary? Like, it's likely going to be his last DC job. He's making $1.5 million. And he's going to throw it away all for the better of the Jets franchise, who are going to get Trevor Lawrence next year when he's not even involved. Like, I don't see the upside for him just doing the Jets a solid and thinking about the greater the franchise long term. I think it was just him being an incompetent defensive coordinator and actually thinking that it was a good idea. So for me, I'm not a huge tanking guy, especially in the NFL where it's so physical and there's a lot of money at stake for these guys and jobs. I think it's just that there's a lot of incompetent defensive and offensive coordinators, head coaches too, and we sort of lose track of that and think there's something bigger going on.
And arrogance, right? Just complete arrogance on his part with that.
100%. And especially from him and what he's done over the last decade in the NFL.
I just couldn't believe it. When Carr overthrew, I don't really know if it was an overthrow, but when he had Aguilar, the previous play open, and he overshot him, I immediately, as a guy who had the Raiders in Survivor, I was like, oh, that was the chance. That was the play. Oh, I can't believe I had a shot at this. And then the next play, it happens again, and it's Ruggs.
100%.
Amazing. The one thing, poor Lamar Jackson on an island, bit on a fake. They have no timeouts. He bites inside, and Ruggs, who does one thing better than any other human on the planet, or most humans, is run by you, did just that. And Carr hits him. If I get to the end, I will remember that for a lifetime. And I'm going.
Even if you don't get to the end, you'll remember it for a lifetime.
That's true.
That was ridiculous.
But I'm going to send Ruggs and Carr something in the mail if that happens.
When Glennon, when they were up 9-0, the Jags, and they had a first down around the Vikings 30-28, and they got a false start, so it was 1st and 15, and then Glennon threw an interception.
Yes.
I got a text from someone who's still in the Survivor, and he said, when everyone is chopping up their checks at the end of the year for Survivor, they'll be talking about where they were when Glennon threw this interception.
Oh, that's nothing compared to the Raiders.
Well, who knew that that would happen at
nothing
the end?
Nothing compared to that, yeah. Huh, I wonder who that was.
So do you want me to give you the update for our records
Yes,
here?
Let's update the records.
Okay, before I do that, I'll just say, you know, I grew up in Pittsburgh, but I'm a huge Moose Jaw Saskatchewan Warriors fan for many, many years.
Hey, yeah.
I looked that up, Adam. Anyways, okay, so Gilly Ice, it's what they call him. Gilly Ice went 3-0 last week. Outstanding. Now, there was another person that also happened to go 3-0, and that's me too, baby. 3-0 for me as well. And Mikey Palm, right down the drain with a 1-2, including, by the way, you lost that same. I had the +3 in Houston. You had the over, which was a horrible beat. It was 24-20 at the half and somehow goes under. Final score, 26-20. Yeah. That's incredible.
Brutal.
Beat, Mikey.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
I couldn't get over 7 in the second half. That's what essentially my bet was.
Unbelievable loss, Mike.
It is so what it is, but I don't think God had anything to do with it.
You're not blaming Hashem.
I'm not blaming God, no.
No. Okay.
Well, I mean, ultimately, I don't really believe in that type of God either, but it's just a funny thing to say. Now, Gil is now 20-17-2, which in first place. Mikey at 18-19-2, and me right on his heels at 18-20-1. In the teaser category, I am still the leader at 9-4. Gil and Mike with solid 8-5 numbers. So though that is your little update from last weekend for the season.
Thank you.
And now we can commence with Thursday Night Football.
Court stenographer Todd Wishnev. I failed to mention, Adam, any thoughts on Thursday Night Football? Maybe it's one of your best bets, maybe it's not, but just a few words if it's not.
Nothing for me on this one. I see that Pat's money continues to come in, even as we're talking. But I guess the only thing that I sort of came to mind when I saw this game and the number, which I thought was right when it opened, now getting a little bit shorter. But obviously the Patriots have that blueprint to beat Jared Goff. They have the quarters defense in their back pocket that they threw at him in the Super Bowl. We saw Flores do it with Miami against them this year as well. And so the game plan for them is certainly there, but this is a Pats defense that is trending towards one of the worst 7 or 8 in the league. And it's a defense I've been very much down on. So my sort of trust in them executing that and being able to generate pressure on Goff is not very high. So it's going to be a stay away for me.
This is actually a pick for me. Is it for you or you, Todd? Anybody?
No,
if it's a pick for you, it must be the Patriots.
No, absolutely not.
You like the Rams tonight.
Especially, and it's going the other way,
right? Can I just warn you that in the fourth quarter, you're going to be rooting for Jared Goff. Now, continue if you'd like to make the pick.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you for that reminder. I will remember that when the fourth quarter starts. Like, oh, yeah, I forgot about this. I like the Rams. It's 4.5 now,
yeah,
by the way.
Correct.
It just keeps coming. I wish it was 4 by the time we had done this, but I'll lay the 4.5. Agree with everything that Adam just said about the Patriots defense trending the wrong way. For me, this is more the other side of the ball too, which is Jalen Ramsey and Darius Williams. And Darius Williams, who's not as big of a household name as Jalen Ramsey is, actually ranks higher, like in Pro Football Focus corner ratings, like 4th in the league. I think Jalen's like 16th or 17th. Those guys, the luxury of having those guys on an island against Cam Newton, who, by the way, in the 45-0 win over the Chargers, as Aaron Schatz told me, his second worst special teams, the Chargers' second worst special teams in the last 35 years he has them ranked. But Cam Newton threw for 69 yards. Jalen Ramsey and Darius Williams, the thought of them, like Jalen Ramsey having to cover Jacoby Myers, like, doesn't really scare me that much. I don't know how the Rams score it. How the Patriots score in this game. So I really like the Rams tonight for both of those reasons on both sides of the ball. And I'll lay the 4.5. That's my number 2 pick of the week.
Okay, let me ask you a few questions.
Oh, I love this.
If the line were 6, would you lay 6?
Maybe not. Okay. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe not.
Okay.
Yeah, but 4.5, I mean, it's like they keep begging me.
How do you feel about a total of 44 if you think the Patriots will really struggle to score?
Well, the Patriots' path to victory is just like how they did it last week. You know, it's like the Ravens.
Three special teams.
It's like the Ravens and the Cowboys the other night, right? The Cowboys get 10 points based on a pick and a short field on a Pollard big kickoff return. I don't know how the Cowboys score otherwise if they don't get the help. That's how I feel about the Patriots tonight.
Well, the Rams are number 1 in yards per play at 4.6 per given up. The closest person to them or team is New Orleans at 4.9. And now, well, we all know I am a big proponent of stats lie, and Atlanta Falcons are 31st at 6.2 yards per play given up, and they are not, I repeat, they are not the 31st worst defense in the National Football League. They're probably somewhere in the mid-teens. So, of course, the stats lie, but the Rams are definitely an elite defense in today's NFL. So I agree with you. It's going to be very tough for New England to score in this game. The only thing is you have to root for Jared Goff and his look of deer in the headlights late in the ball game when it's 4.5 and you're going to be crying later because you're going to be like, I have everything based on this guy. Come on. And he's going to have to throw too because they can't run the ball.
I didn't know that my pick has to withstand cross examination, but I appreciate it. The thing about Jared Goff, though,
you can pick whoever you want. We're and you'll probably win. I'm just saying, you know.
No. If it's a good point though, if Jared Goff were playing a primetime game in Chicago, do you remember that game he played in Chicago a couple of years ago?
Yeah, it was cold.
Nothing or
it was
something.
Cold.
It was 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Uh-huh. Adam, I don't know what that is in Celsius for you Canadians. I'm not sure what it is. But it's exactly
a warm summer day.
I think it's 0 degrees, right? Because 32 is freezing. 0 is freezing Celsius, right? So it's 0. So it's not that cold. It's just kind of cold. But the kid from the West Coast, he looked like it was 32 below the way he was playing that night. But it's in L.A. So
subtract 32 times by 9, divide by 5. It's 0, right? 32. Correct. Very good.
Formula.
What about Michael Lombardi's theory?
Oh, boy.
Todd's good friend.
Yeah.
Michael Lombardi.
Michael Lombardi did something very nice in helping Deanna get tickets to go to the Patriots pregame.
He did.
Preseason game. And then, after that, who knows what?
Yeah, who knows?
Continue.
Who says you should never pre-flop a Rams game? You should always wait and read Jared Goff's body language because you can tell by the end of the first quarter what his mental state is by his body language.
Not bad advice.
Not bad advice.
Well, yeah. He's almost right. You should never pre-flop an NFL game, period. Why would you?
Yeah, that's kind of true, too. What are we doing here? All right, that's the end of the show, everybody.
Right at the foundations of the Megapod. Yeah. There goes
right,
Todd.
Just get the pillars. Just knock them
right,
down.
Right when he was within a half game of second.
My brand is honesty. Your brand
here
is
we
slightly
go.
Different. your brand is a little bit more, you know, spin oriented, more akin with 2020. You're more of a spinning type of guy. I'm more of a truth in your face guy.
Talking to you,
are
Mikey?
You talking to Gil or me?
Yeah. First of all, who are you talking to?
Wait a minute.
It's at you, Mikey. Yeah, you.
I don't know. I was echo. That was a toss up.
No, I leaned to you the whole time. Yeah, I'm not a spinster. That's you.
I'm a spinster.
You're the ultimate spinster.
No,
oh,
no,
Mikey, come
no,
on. You are Mr. Spin.
No, no
oh,
spin zone.
Stop it.
No spin
no
zone.
No hyperbole. No hyperbole.
Yes.
Mikey is a spinster.
All right, let's start with the best bets, for God's sakes. Let's go to Adam Chernoff, again, host of The Simple Handicap. Available where all podcasts are distributed. Yes, Adam?
Yeah, primary Apple and Spotify. If you can find podcasts, you'll find it.
How many times a week do you put these out?
Every day, every morning.
Day.
It's
I was correct.
Think of it like a 10 to 15 minute briefing on the market, where prices are moving. And it's just sort of like people say they listen to it walking the dog on the way to work and the train and the car. So it's just a quick morning pod every day.
And let me just say, before I put in my survivor pick, this is a true story. One of the last things I consult is, could Adam give me something in the injury report that I've missed? So I absolutely give it a listen before putting it in. I love your podcast. What is your first best bet, sir?
It's probably going to be viewed as the squarest bet on the board, and people listening to the show, very intelligent listeners, are probably going to gawk at it. But I have to lay 7.5 with the Packers on the road versus the Lions, and I don't know how much longer this number is going to be available for. But like, it's great that the Lions get Patricia out of there. It's great they get the comeback against the Bears. The comments were fantastic about the new energy with Bevel. But let's be honest, Bevel is not fixing this defense for the Lions anytime soon. And I'm not sure that there's a worse secondary in the NFL right now than the Detroit Lions. And this goes back to midseason when they were primarily a man defense team. They struggled some injuries, but then Patricia was actually smart enough to realize, okay, we can't continue to play man coverage because we just don't have the talent on this roster. And so like week 6, they made the switch to zone, and they've sort of been increasing their zone usage rate every single week since, but it's not working in their favor, right? You look at some of these quarterbacks and their yards per attempt and success. Matt Ryan threw for 8 yards per pass. Philip Rivers threw for 8 yards per pass. Kirk Cousins threw for 11 yards per pass. Alex Smith threw for 7.5. PJ Walker, XFL product, threw for 7.5. Watson threw for 12.5 on Thanksgiving. And then Trubisky, twice this season, 8 yards per pass against the Lions. And so now they get Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I look through Aaron Rodgers just to sort of look at his season. I think we remember the Tampa Bay game where he was ugly and throwing picks. Believe it or not, his second worst performance this season in terms of like yardage output, passer rating, was against the Lions in week 2. The Packers won 42-21. And so this is a Packers team that's already moved the ball on the Lions. This is a team I think they can move the ball on the Lions again. And just from sort of the market perspective, we didn't see this number adjust despite the Packers dominating the Eagles. And then we saw the Lions get that win late. So there wasn't really much credit given to them. Two books on the board have gone from 7.5 to 8, and they were Chris and Circa. And so you know who's moving those numbers, and you know what type of bettors are playing into those markets early. You compare it to some of the other books on the board, maybe a little more recreational focused, still sitting at 7.5. I think with a favorite this big, where it's usually sort of taboo to lay this many points, you're getting the high total, so it's not as relevant. But it's a big price that I don't usually lay, but I'm pretty happy to lay it here with the Packers.
Green Bay, Adam's first pick of the week. Yes, Todd.
Adam, the geniuses are not always right in the NFL, so no need to apologize for standing up to their snobbery in making you feel bad about your pick. You like your pick. And by the way, they're wrong all the time. They were wrong on the Tampa Bay overs every single week last year. Okay, so take that, snobbery, idiot, analytic jerk-offs. Thank you.
Adam, I just want to apologize in advance.
Who are you talking
you
about?
I was yeah.
Who is he talking about? Who are they?
I don't know.
Who are they,
I'm
Todd?
I'm backing up Adam because
Bernie
Adam
Horowitz.
Apologizing that the like, really smarty pants people are going to not like his pick. He doesn't have to apologize for his pick. His pick is goddamn good, and F them.
Who are these smarty pants, though?
Whoever Adam was concerned about. Who are you concerned about?
No, but I mean, it's not a concern about them. But I think, like, anyone who's done this long and, like, laying more than a touchdown on a road, typically not the most advantageous spot to get your money in the NFL pregame. But
we understood
with the total with the total this high, it sort of devalues that a little bit. But right. That's just sort of what I was putting
up. I was
just
there. Backing you up, Adam. And of course, I took incoming for it. You know.
All right. So Green Bay, pick number one from Adam Chernoff.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Mikey, numero uno.
Well, Todd referenced this game last week in Houston with the Colts over. And I'm not going to get off it. I'm going back to Colts Raiders over. 50 and a half. Is that the number, or have you got 51, Todd?
Damn it if I'm not going to get a Colts over. I didn't get it last week. I'm getting it this week.
Well, you know, the original Rudy, Rudyard Kipling, you know, wrote, there are only four things certain.
Did they call Rudyard Kipling Rudy?
Rudy, imperialist Rudy.
We didn't know that.
There are only four things certain since social progress began. That the dog returns to his vomit, the pig returns to her mire, and the burnt fool's bandaged finger goes wobbling back to the fire. And I'm going right back to the fire with the Colts over. Look, that game should have went over 10 times last week. This Raiders defense is not good. Not good. They're just not good.
Do you know my internal thoughts? Well, I was hoping to get them through a survivor. I was like, God, get me through this. This defense is atrocious.
It's atrocious. And yet Gruden calls a good game, and they're able to use the tight end. They missed the running back last week, obviously. But, again, the number's short to me. I think this number should be 54, 53 and a half. So that's my best bet. What's
Gil,
the number?
Do you have 51? Do you have 51, Gil? Because that's what I have mostly across the board.
That's okay. There's 50. Some 50 and a halfs.
What are we talking, Oakland here? Yeah, excuse me, Las Vegas, pardon me.
You're Vegas Raiders.
I'm sorry, I have it on spreads. Hold, please. Hold, please. Not prepared for the question. Apologies. The internet here at Bar Canada is fabulous, though. 51 is
okay.
What I have.
Over 51.
Utah,
some
what do you have?
Serious secondary issues for the Raiders.
I have 51,
too. Work in favor of that over for sure.
Serious secondary issues?
Yeah, Arnett has the concussion. There's a couple other sort of depth corners who are not practicing so far. So certainly makes that Raiders defense a lot worse.
I will say Cleveland.
But the starters stink, too.
Cleveland Farrell had a couple strip sacks in that game against the Jets, which were huge. But, you know, offensively, the Raiders, just a brief aside, I said before that game, I was like, why don't the Raiders, I'm no football genius, But why don't they just go to Waller every single play? Like, it's just amazing. It's so simple with them. And you would think defenses would figure out a way to do this. Maybe some have kind of this year. The Jets certainly didn't figure that out.
No, they did not.
Yeah. Waller is just a beast. Todd, I'm sorry. Todd Wishnev, everybody, from Pittsburgh.
My first pick is going to be, if it ain't broke, don't fix it type of thing here. The Tennessee Titans are 9-2 to the over this year. 9 overs and 2 unders. The first under was the first game of the year. And since then, 8 overs. Since then, every game pretty much goes over. The Bears game didn't go over, but the Bears don't really have an offense. Other than that, every single game goes over with the Tennessee Titans. Now, Jacksonville, the last couple weeks, has shown a propensity to be able to move the ball a little bit. So maybe, you know, Glennon or whoever they've got starting a quarterback is, you know, passable. And he could probably get you some points against Tennessee. We know Tennessee is going to score like crazy because every week that's what happens. So how can you go under in this game? The teams played the like second week of the season. They had 63 points, I believe, was the final. It's only over 53. I mean, Tennessee is just an over monster of a team. They can't stop anybody, and you can't stop them. So as long as Jacksonville can get you 24 points, 34-24, boom, you're in without even a sniff. So give me over 53 in Tennessee against the Jacksonville Jaguars, please.
At Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders on a numbers game this morning, and a quarter poll appearance on the show, and asked him, who were the teams that they're most volatile performances from week to week? And he said San Francisco, Cleveland, and Jacksonville, which had always concerned Survivor players that when they faced Jacksonville. And the two teams that he said were the most consistent from week to week, any guesses?
Tell me if they're top tier or middle tier teams.
One is top tier, and the other is
Packers?
middle to bottom.
Packers? So it's not the one I was thinking
so
of.
Kansas City is the top tier team. Yeah. And the Chicago Bears.
Oh, really?
Just every week saying
I was going to say the Washington football team.
They're pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aaron Schatz, I make him minus 180 to be a Megapod guest before the season's over, okay?
What do you know that I don't? All right, so here's so I already gave you my number two pick.
Yes.
So this is my number one pick. And this falls
– Rams was your number two pick?
That is correct. My number, and I don't know, the order doesn't really matter, right? Does it?
Not at all.
Not at all. So just make this my number two pick. And this falls under the category of bets you have to make or you have to be willing to lose. Tip of the cap if the Philadelphia Eagles can beat me. So I'm taking the New Orleans Saints. It was 6.5 this morning. Now it's back to 7.
I see tons of 7 plus money.
I think it's 7. But it was 6.5 earlier. So let's say minus 7, reduced juice. Obviously, I don't like it as much at 7 as I did at 6.5. But Jalen Hurts was wonderful filling in for Carson Wentz. Nice performance, nice spark. But this is his first game as a starter. And this New Orleans defense is for reals. And I just don't understand the money coming. I didn't understand the money coming in on the Patriots tonight. I don't understand the money coming in on the Eagles. I must be missing something. I'm not a huge Taysom Hill guy, so I will say that. But it's just, again, it's this bet. If a rookie quarterback playing in his very first start can come in and cover that number against that good of a defense, tip of the cap. I'm taking New Orleans. I'm not thinking about it too hard. New Orleans minus 7 is my second pick.
Why isn't Sean Payton getting more credit or love for Coach of the Year?
He should.
I said it a month ago. What he's doing with this team, what he's doing using multiple quarterbacks, another team consistent week in and week out with what they've done. I mean, Flores is probably, you know, your leader, but to have Peyton still at 7-1, that doesn't make sense to me.
Think about it. Has there ever been a year where there have been so many poor coaching performances and so many great ones? And it's reflective of the what I like to call the ever-widening chasm of the haves and have-nots in the NFL. But O'Brien, Quinn, and Patricia already gone. Lynn, Nagy, Gase, Taylor, Marone. Maybe I'm forgetting somebody you could make a case for firing, even though the Chargers say not so fast with Anthony Lynn. But then on the other side, Flores, Reed, Tomlin, Belichick with this group, Rivera taking cancer treatments at halftime earlier in the year, Judge, Stefanski. We never say McDermott, we should. And Peyton. There's so many.
How about Anthony Lynn comparing this season to Pearl Harbor? Where are we going with this
Didn't he
guy?
Do that on the anniversary of Pearl Harbor, though?
The day after. He said it was just Pearl Harbor Day. It's sort of like if we could come back from Pearl Harbor, you know, at least nobody has died this year. Boy. He's a special teams coach. He 3 years with the Broncos. That's how he broke in as a special teams coach.
Right. I mentioned that today. Yeah.
And the punt team is just so bad. They get a punt blocked every week. Now one returned for a touchdown. Another one returned 61 yards last week.
The second worst special teams
ever
through three quarters in the last 35 years, according to DVOA.
Pretty strong.
Number two. Number two, Adam. I'm sorry, Adam. Our guest, Adam Chernoff, everybody.
Well, I think it's a double down on the Saints, like you just mentioned.
Yes, and I like it.
And to sort of follow up on Peyton, he did this last year when Bridgewater came in. Like, they didn't miss a beat. And it was, like, a much more comparable quarterback style-wise to Breeze. But what he's done with Hill this year has been really good. But this is now the fourth consecutive week with Hill as the starter where there's been money coming in against the Saints. And even before there was that COVID move against the Broncos with the QB situation, but that number was going towards Denver as it was. So there was just people that are betting against the Saints and Hill. And I think the thing that's sort of being missed within this is, like, obviously Hill is a less explosive quarterback option for the Saints to have, if you can even say less explosive relative to Breeze. But he reduces the variance of the offensive game plan to essentially nothing, right? It's so conservative, it's so safe, but it's very effective. And in this handicap against the Eagles, Philadelphia, one of the better front sevens in football, fifth in rushing success rate defense for the season. But the couple games where they've really struggled, twice against the Giants, and then once against the Baltimore Ravens. What do both of those teams have in common? And it's a mobile quarterback, and specifically the
Packers
Ravens.
Too. Adam, Packers too, they struggle.
Well, but the Packers more so, like, no, not as this power read, running, blocking team like the Ravens were, but certainly the Packers had success. But it's essentially the same scheme that they faced with Baltimore that they just couldn't stop. And I would argue that the way the season is trending with Hill, the Saints are a little bit more effective, get healthier on the offensive line this week, healthier on the defensive side as well. And, like, I was looking at this number. So, like, the market sort of established itself early last week with the look ahead, which was 6.5. Obviously smaller limits and smaller bets, but, like, that number was made before this Hurts news was really made public. And so a lot of that, I think, was priced in mind with Wentz as the starter. And we haven't seen a huge adjustment. It's one bad quarterback to relatively an unknown. But around 7, you're not going to see a huge move. But I think, like, the downside with Hurts as a rookie who's going to make the Eagles more run-orientated against the Saints defense, it's very good. The downside with Hurts is much greater than the downside with a really bad game from Wentz. And so I don't think that that's necessarily fully priced into this number, and that's why I think there's value certainly at 6.5 with the Saints this morning.
I like it. We should just let Adam talk rather than the three of us prattling on. So number two is my number two as well on the Saints. I like it, Adam, when we're on the same side here. Mikey. Mike Palm, everybody.
I'm going to take Todd's favorite team, the Atlanta Falcons, against Brother Lynn's pathetic Chargers.
That's my number three.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
No, it's yours.
No, I just can't.
No, I just wanted to point out.
I can't back the Chargers here. And I think Todd is right. The Falcons' defense is improving. They were competitive in this game with the Saints. Now, the missed field goal, I thought they could have opened the game up, the Saints, and they didn't, and they let Atlanta hang around there. But look, I'll take Matt Ryan and that offense and an improving defense and a special teams that's not going to kill you against the Chargers team where the players just have to be shaking their heads asking, where are we at? How are we any good that we continue? That we lost 45-0 in a game we were a point and a half favorite at home.
Yeah, there could be a checkout factor.
That's
here.
What I'm thinking, Gil. Yeah. I really am. So that's my number two.
Did you see Bosa's quote?
Oh, I think. What? Remind us again what it was?
Bosa came out and he said, well, I'm going to be playing hard this weekend, but I'm not sure anyone else is.
I didn't hear that. That's amazing. To come out and say that? And I can't speak for the guy next to me. But I am. Wow. That one nipped another one for my number three. Dot, number two.
My number two is going to be done in the voice of a concerned Yinzer.
Oh, no.
Buffalo. We are in a lot of trouble here, people. I know people think the 11-0 we can't be beaten at, but let me tell you, Pittsburgh Steelers have some problems in running the football. We can't run the football from downtown to East Liberty. We're going to have a big problem if we think we're going to go up against the Kansas City Chiefs or even the Buffalo Bills this week and think we're just going to get W after W after W. We can't do it just throwing the ball. Look, I love Big Ben. He's fucking fantastic. But here's the deal. We can't run the football. And if you can't run the football, the other team can key on what you're doing. And that's what the Washington Redskins did. I mean, the Washington football team did to us and gave us no opportunities to win a football game we had no business losing. So I'm really concerned about my Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'm going to go against them because I figure, look, if I go against them, at least I make some money. If they lose the ball game, I don't feel that bad. And then I can go have a big meal with my family. So here's the deal. I'm taking the Bills, the Buffalo Bills against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'm going to lay the minus 2.5. I think that Josh Allen guy is going to give us all kinds of trouble, all kinds of trouble, that Josh Allen. And I don't know. I don't think we can run the football. Bottom line is we're not that great.
What's that thing you do, a bottom line? I don't get that part.
That's part of the Pittsburgh Steelers voice. And Myron Cope used to do that. If you remember him, he's the one who used to tell you, Jerome Bus Bettis is running down the field. You can't stop the bus.
That was an excellent, excellent accent.
Myron Cope.
You can only do that growing up where you did. That's outstanding. Let me ask you a question. Big Ben literally has it in his nickname, the word big. Does he not sneak anymore either on 4th-and-1 with just under 5 minutes left in a tie game?
So bad.
What is that, Adam? I always talk about this with Philip Rivers. Ben doesn't do it either now.
Well, and the play call and electing to go where they did with that pass was just bizarre. But it picking up 5 yards for the Steelers passing game just seems so strenuous. Like, it's so simplistic and elementary in the routes that they're running. It's tough to watch.
I saw your tweet, non-creative. That's the exact word to use. It's completely non-creative. I don't get it. I don't know the deal with Big Ben. I said this to Lombardi. Lombardi said, Gilly doesn't want to get hurt. I'm like, at a tie game with less than 5 minutes? You can't do it once?
But how are you going to get hurt on a quarterback keeper? What's so dangerous about a quarterback keeper? You take the ball, you lunge forward. I mean, unless the guys are going to, like, grab your balls or something, how are you going to get injured?
Well, I mean, Patrick Mahomes got hurt doing it, right? So there is that.
But itty-bitty Breeze sticks the ball like this. He takes it and he just sticks it over.
What? Breeze does that wave thing. Breeze is the smallest dude out there, right? And he does that wave thing. Why can't Big Ben do that?
Well, first of all, I got one other problem. You can't win in the NFL throwing every single down. You have to be able to run a little bit, don't you? Just even a little taste of the run to give the other team maybe the idea that there's going to be something else besides just a 7-yard pass to Juju every play. It's not going to work.
Listen, I agree with you, Todd. Look at how Kansas City missed Hilaire Sunday night. That was definitely took some dynamism away from their offense in that game and made them very vulnerable at home against the Broncos.
Yeah, I'm not one of these guys that preaches, oh, you have to have balance and you have to do this. Look, we've seen Bill Belichick win running the ball 100 times in a row and throwing the ball 100 times in a row. I have no problem if it's done strategically. But if it's done because we cannot run the ball, which the Washington football team figured out very quickly, you're going to have a problem. And look, the Steelers, let's be honest, the Steelers had a bunch of really close calls early in the year against Denver with Driscoll in there, with against Houston. I mean, they're not really an 11-0 football team.
Dallas.
And you all made fun of me when I said Kansas City will be -5 if they come to Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship game. Everyone was like, oh, that's ridiculous. No way. They could easily be -5.
I don't remember it happening that
way. We both said it would be. We both said it would be north of 3.
Listen to the tape. Chris from Las Vegas, a man named Michael Palm, who's slightly rotund, and another man named Gilly Ice, all said I was a lunatic for saying that Kansas City could possibly
did not
be
happen.
Nobody said that. We agreed with you.
We didn't agree with him. We didn't agree with him.
I didn't agree with him.
Said Chris is going down to the book right now to bet against that idea. That's exactly what
I believe
said.
I did say that. There's a point there.
Oh, boy.
There's a point there.
Oh, boy. Todd was right.
Yeah, no. Well done, Todd.
As usual.
Checkmate.
Right.
Checkmate.
As usual.
Yeah.
Can we stop with this star? Was the star of action? That's disrespectful to Crack Wins. Todd was featured in action, okay?
Todd was one of the 4 major players of action.
They plucked him out of a room of 2,500 people at the South Point.
What's interesting is they picked me to be on the Showtime show when I wasn't even planned to be on because I'm not really that entertaining, as most media companies in the sports gambling business know.
Todd, you always have a home right here on the Megapod because I know talent when I see it. And I'm looking at talent, damn it.
You might be the best scout of talent since Bill 80.
Let's not get crazy.
Okay, now we're getting too inside jokey, and everyone's going to complain because Mikey and Gil do too many inside jokes.
Who complains about that? Nobody.
People do. People are like, really I'm tired of the inside jokes.
Really?
Yeah, no, it's annoying. It's annoying. We have inside jokes and no one gets it. That's not fun.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
There's no inside jokes.
It's much more fun when I make really obvious jokes about
sing.
Mike.
Or you sing.
Yes.
We haven't gotten to the singing portion of the show yet. Where are we? Number 3 from Adam. Todd, have you done number two? I'm sorry, Todd.
That was my pick. Bills minus 2.5 because of the injury.
I was listening for the accent. I had no idea what the pick was.
All right, Adam.
The pick was the Bills minus 2.5
Todd.
Because the Steelers are very concerning to me. And I think the Bills can beat the Steelers minus 2.5
Anthony McFarland had no idea that was a back shoulder throw, by the way, on that fourth down. Did you have problems getting it? I was so frustrated that I could not get this game on the local Fox affiliate. TMZ showed it. I have DirecTV, and I couldn't get it on my phone or on my laptop.
Really?
Couldn't get it.
You have the package.
Yeah, but apparently it was NFL Sunday Ticket to everybody. I couldn't get it.
No, I didn't hear that.
So I had to drive to the South Point.
I didn't get it because I have Cox.
I do too.
But I thought it was going to be on Fox 5. So I didn't make an effort to be somewhere to watch it.
Right. That was the problem. They didn't communicate that only 40% of the country was getting
this game. My phone was blowing up at 2:03 with people saying, where the hell is this game?
I tweeted. I said, anybody else infuriated?
I saw.
Yeah. Anyway, Adam, number three, sir.
So I haven't bet it yet, and we don't have to count it for the pod. But like 6.5 that I think turns into 7 for the Buccaneers is way too high against the Vikings. And so I'm looking at that one a lot closer to 3.5. There's other ratings that'll make that a lot closer. Like this is Bucs territory when they were favored against the Panthers. This was Bucs with the price they were against the Broncos. I think that this is out of line, and I think the Vikings going to overtime and playing essentially a full extra 10 minutes against the Jags and looking as bad as they did is sort of fueling this move that's going up a little bit. But I'm waiting for this one to get to 7. I'll bet it when it gets there. If I have to buy it because it's not going to move, I'm going to do that as well. But I think the Vikings getting points here, certainly worth a look. I think it's a terrific game for Zimmer, and now he sets up like Brady under pressure. It's been a decline the last 3 years. It's very noticeable this year. And when you're facing a guy like Zimmer, who's just so creative and the game plans he puts together, how he disguises his blitzes, I think it's just a perfect opportunity to him for just to have a sort of his best game plan of the year and sort of an all-in spot for the Vikings. If you want to attribute what they sort of made everyone sweat who had them in Survivor last year or last week, potentially sort of a look-ahead spot for them in this matchup. So for me, I think that this number is way out of line. I'm happy to wait it out and see if it gets a 7, but if I have to buy it, I'll certainly buy the 6.5 to the 7.
Yeah, and the 52 out of 103 remaining Survivor entries that had to sweat out Minnesota and the Jaguars last week. Minnesota, really, Dan Bailey missed 2 extra points. He missed a field goal. That first Jacksonville touchdown literally bounced off the back of a Vikings defender. There was a pick 6. Like, the Vikings should have won that going away, just to add to that. Mikey, since I've already done 3, because I'm on your Atlanta Falcons as number 3, what's your number 3?
I'm going to play over Monday night in the Ravens-Browns game.
47, I'm seeing.
That's fine. Over.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
Look, I think Mayfield's improving. I think they move him around. They can run the ball. The thing about Baltimore is that their running game is dynamic, right? And they have these burst runs. They don't take, for a team that's a predominant running team, they don't have 17 play drives, right? They have 8 play drives and 9 play. So they don't chew the clock like a traditional running team would. And also,
when, interesting point.
When Jackson throws the ball, there's a lot of incompletions, so the clock stops, right? There's very few short gains for that team. They either hit a play action play that goes for 20, they bust a run for 17. So they move the ball quickly. The Browns can run the football, which sets up Baker. Look, Tennessee last week said we're going to pack everybody in the box and make Baker beat us, and that's what he did. I mean, guys were running wide open because they had everybody up front. So there's a low total for the NFL, 47, relatively this year, and so I'm over.
It's a well-thought-out pick. I wish I had thought of that. Well done.
Thank you.
And Lamar Jackson was so inaccurate the other night.
His arm, I mean, not even close.
Yeah. No, I like it. 47 over for Mikey. Baltimore and Cleveland. Dot.
For my last pick, I am going to go with the under in the Washington football team against the 49ers. The under I see as 43. Is that what you guys
have?
That
is correct. 43.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go under. And the reason I'm going to go under is I think Nick Mullins is not an NFL starting quarterback. So I'm not really too concerned about the Redskins scoring a lot against a Washington defense. By the way, quietly is a very good defense. They're fourth in the league in yards per play. The Washington defense, now granted the Steelers can't run the ball, but the Steelers do move the ball against most teams, and the Redskins were really giving them a lot of trouble. The Washington football team, I think, is a very good defensive football team. I think they're in the top 10. I really do.
It shouldn't be quiet because they've had so many high draft picks on defense, right? Chase Young and Daron Payne and Montez Sweat. Jonathan Allen wasn't even on the field against the Steelers. Kerrigan is still an old veteran top pick. I mean, they are littered with top defensive draft choices, so it better be good by this point.
Well, I just think it's a pretty darn good defense, and I think they're going to be able to handle Nick Mullins, who does not impress me for San Francisco. On the other hand, San Francisco's positives on their side of the ball is defense as well, and it's not like Alex Smith to McKissick is going to work as well as it did against the Steelers late in the game when they just saw, oh, here's the idea. Let's just throw to McKissick for 6 yards every single play. So I have a feeling that the smart coaching staff for the Niners will cook up some defensive goulash for Mr. Alex Smith, and it's probably going to be maybe 17 points from him, 20 points from one of the other teams. We're looking at 2017. I just like under 43 in this. I think both team strengths are on defense, and while 43 is a low number in the National Football League nowadays, I could totally see this as both coaches just being super conservative. Let's just play, ground and pound, and let's go under 43.
That's the other thing, Todd, about your Steelers concern. The Skins did that with Washington football team did that with Antonio Gibson getting turf toe in the first quarter, never came back. And Terry McLaurin, 2 catches for 14 yards. He's by far their biggest playmaker. And Washington still beat them down 14.
But they had McKissick, and no one could guard McKissick. For some reason, the Steelers didn't realize that if you run the exact same play over and over and over, and it gets 8 and 9 yards every single play, that's probably not going to win you a football game.
It's weird being a Washington football team fan because the quarterback of the future is not on that roster. But they're with Alex Smith, and I can't believe I'm saying this, because I was like, please don't get back on the field. I'm terrified for you. Now, like, he's clearly the best quarterback that they could have had.
But, Gil, Alex Smith was a decent, let's call him a slightly above average quarterback when he was on Kansas City.
I think he was better than that.
Okay, so I was being conservative.
Yeah.
Let's call him solidly above average quarterback when he was on Kansas City. Solidly.
He got Kaepernicked and he got Mahomes'd, right? I mean, that's his career.
Right. So, but what I'm saying is, why are we so surprised that Alex Smith
we're not surprised. I just didn't want the guy to get out on the field because I was terrified for him. We're not surprised. But I guess what I'm saying is, this is the best version of Washington that you may get until they find a guy, whether in this draft or otherwise. I don't know what my point was.
I thought he was good at Utah.
He was the number one pick in the draft, for goodness sake.
Very good at Utah.
Yeah. Remember, he was the guy that was picked first while Aaron Rodgers just sat there for 20-some picks.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
And then sat there for another few years in Green Bay.
Yeah, true that. All right, teaser, guys. Our favorite two-leg 6-point teaser of the week. You're allowed to use sides or totals. Mr. Chernoff.
Well, I think I'm always sort of opposed to teasing down big numbers with big totals, but I think I absolutely have to bring Green Bay down below the 6, the 4, and the 3, and then I think naturally pair that with the Saints if they're at 7, bringing them down to 1 as well. So I would go Green Bay and the Saints teased down.
Packers Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Todd.
Hang on, I'm stenographizing here. So we got -1.5 for Green Bay for Mikey and Kansas City. Where's Kansas City again?
7.5 also.
All right, I'm just gonna do the round robin with these guys. New Orleans, Kansas City is actually mine.
Okay, I'm gonna go with New Orleans for Gil. Mm-hmm. New Orleans -1 and Kansas City -1.5, right?
Correct. Well, it kind of looks kind of -1-y now, but yeah, -1.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Green Bay -1.5 as well. And just so that we're not all doing exactly the same thing.
Be authentic. Do what it was going to be. Don't just make some up.
Well, I didn't really do a good job with my teaser preparation today. I wasn't really positive who I wanted to go with.
I surprise him with the teaser question every week.
I know, I just forgot.
We're going to do something different this week. We're going to do teasers again.
I want to go with the Browns +8. How about that?
Browns +8?
Yeah.
Okay. If Baltimore wins that game, looks like a 5-0, very well possible 5-0 finish for Baltimore down the stretch.
That AFC price is awfully high right now.
Yeah, what is it, 18-1? What is it?
Before the Dallas game, it was 18. It's come down right around 14-1 now. But like you consider, if they get through Cleveland, like you said, that's probably they're running the table and finishing with 11 wins. They probably get the 5 seed.
Yeah.
And then outside of KC, who are they more than a 3-point underdog at most to
Nobody.
Within the AFC? I don't think anyone.
Yeah.
So like from a hedge perspective, if you want to go that way, you're probably working back against that once they get into playoffs, never really laying more than -140 against. That's a big number.
Got to get it before this game, though, before the Cleveland
game. For sure.
Because that's where the equity
goes. This is the big swing.
I don't think Baltimore – I mean, I understand from a price perspective, I agree with Adam. But from a – are they the same Ravens? They're not the same Ravens. People have figured out Lamar Jackson.
No, Todd. I'm sorry to interrupt. Okay. But they figured out Greg Roman. Greg Roman is a one-hit wonder. He had Kaepernick, great for a year. Second year, figured him out. Lamar Jackson, great for a year. Second year, figured him out. Doesn't know how to run the full. He's not creative enough. They should hire Kubiak. Kubiak would be a much better coordinator for the Ravens.
I stand corrected by Michael Palm. I'm not going to argue with him about who is the person that we should be saying they figured out. But if you want to say it's Greg Roman, that's fine, too. The bottom line is Baltimore is not the same football team on offense, regardless of who they figured out. They figured out something, and it's just not the same team.
The name Lamar Jackson has taken enough guff for 1 week.
That's right.
It doesn't need to be two Lamar Jacksons. But I will say this about Baltimore, and agree or disagree, that they are, I mean, I guess you could say this about a lot of teams in the history of the NFL, but they feel to me to be the poster child of this. If they get ahead, they are so much more dangerous than when they fall behind. Like it just feels like game script for them is everything. Because if they fall behind and they have to throw the football, you're like, they're. I feel great being on the other side. If they get ahead, let's just say AFC Championship game, and they get ahead of the Chiefs, you got a game, you know, in a way that you might not otherwise with some other team. I don't want to overstate it, but that's how it feels to me. Does that make any sense? Everyone's
yeah, and it's the worst opponent for the. It's like the worst opponent for the Chiefs to face schematically too if they fall behind as well.
Right, that's right. They're great from ahead. Not so
by the way, aside from Kansas City, you can throw all the rest of the playoff teams in the AFC in one big jumble And who knows who's going to win any game? Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Indianapolis versus Tennessee, Tennessee against the Browns. Can Miami, maybe Miami's a slightly below the other ones, but the rest of them, if you just throw them all in a big bunch, who the hell knows who's going to be the right team?
The AFC playoffs, though, seven deep is going to be awesome because those are seven good teams. Yeah, seven good teams. If the Raiders don't get in there, for instance. But like the NFC, there's going to be one or two or even three crap teams in there for sure, including the NFC East winner. Although I don't know if you'd want to play Washington now, which is crazy to say. I don't want to play that defense.
Well, do you play with McKissick or without McKissick?
Oh,
because
God,
you can't stop him on the 8-yard.
God, with the McKissick. By the way, it's a platoon between McKissick and Barber. As Bryce Love sits on the sidelines, like, let me, I want to play.
No one can stop McKissick. He's like Michael Jordan. You can only hope to contain him.
Okay. What was your teaser in the end? Cleveland and who?
My teaser was Green Bay -1.5, and I'm concerned about it because everyone likes it, and Cleveland +8.
Okay. So Survivor, before we get to the final two questions, 89 entries left, 82 of whom have Seattle available. Seattle is the biggest favorite on the board, close to a 2-touchdown favorite against the Jets. This is, I believe this is the last week where the quote-unquote obvious pick is still available to most. After this week, it will get nutso. But this week, the question becomes, do you just take the Seahawks and say, you know what, let's just forget about this week, we'll resume play next week? Or do you say to yourself, because as I've said many times, Survivor is a misnamed game. By the way, you quoted a... one of a VEASAN hosts
one of
saying
our hosts.
This. Because
yeah.
I know you're not allowed to say my name, apparently, on that show. But you said, I said, it's a misnamed game, right? It should be called Winner, not Survivor.
Wait, Gil, why isn't Mike allowed to say your name on
Well, because I didn't know that he wasn't, but the other day he's on there, and he's like, another host on this network said.
One of our hosts. That
one
was
of our
the
hosts.
Quote.
One of Mike
our hosts.
Mike couldn't say my name.
Said that the contest is
I don't
misnamed.
Know what it was.
I could.
So wait,
but
why
I don't...
can't Mike? Why aren't you allowed to say his name on
He's
it?
Allowed.
Gil is making an assumption.
I think it
might be wrong.
It might be right.
Might be right.
I don't know.
But I don't say other host names. You know what I mean? I don't. You know.
So this is a.
I don't bring up Danny Burke. I don't name Danny Burke on their show.
Wait, so this is an across the board host ban. You don't say any host's name. It has nothing to do with Gil.
I don't know if they know there are any other hosts.
That's true. That's a good point. They may not be aware.
But you say Lombardi's name, don't you?
Yes, he does.
I do, but he's on their show every week.
Mike is a spinster.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm a spinster.
He's a spinster.
No,
I play both sides.
I'm not judging you in any way. I'm just trying to understand whose name you're allowed to say and whose name you're not allowed. That's all.
I'm not allowed to say Todd W. on one of the weekend shows.
Oh, you're definitely not allowed to say that.
No, I was chastised for
that.
I was chastised. I received a text. Please do not say Todd W.'s name.
That's like taking the Lord's name in vain. I'm not allowed to.
Finishing the thought. So the question becomes, do you just take Seattle and act like, you know what, we'll resume real Survivor play next week? Or do you play to win? And first of all, if you have two entries, maybe you definitely do this. But if you have one entry, do you have the cojones, the onions, to play another team and hope for a Seattle Seahawks calamity?
Well,
at which point you will rise to the mountaintop.
I guess you have to assess your belief in the Jets' ability to win that game.
Yes, you do.
That's what it comes down to. Here's the question. Let's do another over-under.
Mm-hmm.
How many of the 82 use Seattle?
Well, that's kind of the question I'm asking.
Well, what do you think? My number is 72.5.
I said 75 was the first number that came into my head.
Not everyone will do it.
Not everyone.
So especially
the five guys with two.
Well, there's an argument that you want to move both of them on because you have a big advantage, right?
For sure.
Or you take the shot.
But I'm just glad that this is the last week where that's the case.
Yeah, then there will be – picks are going to be scattered the last 3 weeks.
Absolutely. Did you like my discussion? I don't know if you're aware of it until I sent it to you. But Las Vegas Chris and I had this ongoing debate, and there's no right answer. What would you rather have right now? A Circus Survivor entry that is still alive, one of the last 89, or be in contention in Circa Millions? Keep in mind, as you very well know, 50 places get cash in millions, and Survivor is chop or zero.
But to me, it's not even close.
For you, it's...
It's Survivor. I mean, it's the whole thing. It's the whole experience you've had, right, Gil?
Yeah,
and to get to this point?
Yep.
And let's face it, Adam brought it up you know, or Todd brought it up. This picking five games against the number every week. Oh, God, is this hard.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, this is really, it's hard enough to find two games each week or three that we try to do. So, I mean, if I was in like 10th place, I would not feel any sort of confidence that I could maintain and not slip way down to only getting 3,000 back. Or
can I get a commitment from you? You may have already promised this to somebody else. Can I get a commitment from you that I get to interview the person who finishes last in millions?
Sure. Sure.
First?
Sure.
Because
sure, you should get somebody first. I mean, everybody else. I mean, Whale Gapper, Chernoff.
Oh yeah, right.
Here we,
yeah, like that's the way it flows.
Here we go.
Yeah. Okay. Right. That person is the most amazing person in all of this. How they could overcome even quarterlies to suck so consistently. And you can't try to suck, can you?
No, they have to. These people that have been at the bottom have been there since like week 4 and 5. It's the same 20 people.
But how can you, like, if you're that good at sucking, why didn't you just try to win the thing?
True, but you started out bad for 3 weeks, and then you said, let's just go against it.
But the
mirror is, the guy that's in first is 45 and 15, and the three-way tie for last is 15 and 45.
45 and 20 or 45 and 15?
Well, how many weeks is it? I mean, 20, sorry, 65. Yeah. 45 and 20.
Yeah.
And on the opposite side, it's 20 and 45.
Yeah, but they can't control that. That's just a distribution issue.
I agree.
There's always going to be people. What?
I agree with you, Todd. I agree.
Yeah, it's a distribution
Costco.
Issue.
It's a Costco issue.
No, you have to. You're always going. If you have a pool of people, there's going to be people like, for instance, in my example of the bad beats, I am in the fifth standard deviation for bad beats, and there's somebody else who's in the fifth standard deviation for good beats. And that is always going to be the scenario if you put a blanket over a large group of anything. There's always going to be people on one side of the standard deviation and people on the other side. So those people soon, like five of those people will go 5-0 this week, you know, or somebody will go 5-0. You can't guarantee that you'll stay bad is what I'm saying.
150 people went 5-0.
Yeah, but
if 150 people went 0-5.
But what I'm saying is the people, if you just take the people who are in the worst, they'll probably be close to 50-50 from here on out. That's all I'm trying to say.
I agree. These people don't have a special talent at sucking. It's amazing that they were able to suck as well as they have through quarterlies, right? Because if you're middling, every time a quarterly comes up, you're like, hey, I'm back to 0-0. But they have managed somehow to overcome good, you know, positive variance.
Well, it's just like in a basketball game. If a team makes 6 3-pointers in a row, you know, they're going, the point spread's going to go up, but it still has to reflect the rest of the game. It doesn't mean they're going to continually hit the next 6 3-pointers in a row.
By the way, Mikey talking about flow. Mikey, everything that comes out of E's mouth, you're like his mouthpiece now.
No,
you're,
no,
I'm
not
flow.
Come on now. I don't know that that's accurate.
It might. I'm just saying, take some incoming while you're at it.
Mike didn't go to a Pac-12 school.
That's true.
Known for
I did not. You have to respect him for what he's accomplished.
All right. Final two questions, guys. Final two questions. The large favorite most likely to lose outright. We will give you the candidates. The candidates are Tampa Bay, 6.5-point favorites hosting Minnesota. Tennessee, 7.5-point favorites at Jacksonville. Not really sure how much home field means in any of this anymore. Kansas City, 7.5-point favorites, or 7, somewhere in that pocket. I think it's 7.5 consensus, reduced juice, at Miami. Seattle, of course, the biggest favorite on the board, 13.5-point favorites, hosting the Jets. Green Bay, 7.5-point favorites at Detroit. Let's see what else. New Orleans, now it's 6.5. As we did this podcast, it's down to 6.5-point favorites at Philadelphia, toggling between the two. Those are your candidates. Of all of those, Adam, and I think you might have already hinted at who you would pick here, who's the most likely to lose outright?
Yeah, I think it's Tampa Bay. Part of me sort of went to Tennessee, but I think that the Titans look a lot better this week than they did last week. But I think it's certainly Tampa Bay in this spot.
Mike?
I agree. I think they're the most vulnerable, and they've shown the most regression.
That.
I want to say Tennessee, but because I didn't sing yet, I'm going to go with the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, mess with that team and their coach will beat your ass. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, they're going to the playoffs this year.
Wow. Well done. crowbarring it in before the end of the show.
Well, if you don't crowbar it in, then people get mad. They're like, where was the Miami Dolphins song?
Most asked question on the podcast this year, all about Miami Dolphins songs from Todd. You're mad at me now?
No, I'm not mad at you. People love to hear him sing, and they love – the new thing will be the Pittsburgh accent. I think that's even better than the Dolphin
Pittsburgh
lyrics.
Pittsburgh accent was the greatest.
I love it because you're listening to Myron Cope.
Look, if Jens ever went down to Permane Brothers and had a giant meal, let's say it was a Sunday, you were at a Pirate game or at a Penguin game or maybe even a Star game. You could have been at any of those kind of games or maybe even Pitt Panthers. Jens love the college sports. That's all good, too. Whatever it is.
What's that thing?
Jens are going to want to watch sports in Pittsburgh. That's what we do here in Pittsburgh. We love sports.
What happens? Is that an R that happens on?
No, it happens on L's. Like, if I say I love ya, you have to say it properly.
Love. Interesting. What's with the French fries and the sandwiches? Who's the genius behind that? That's the greatest Pittsburgh thing ever.
Well, being is that I wasn't a typical Yinzer and that I wasn't allowed to go to Permane Brothers when I was a youngster because I was an Orthodox Jew in that, and they didn't let me go to non-kosher restaurants in that. So that was a big problem for me. I had to go to the goddamn kosher restaurant, which was just, like, horrible, and I would have loved to have a sandwich with some French fries.
One of the saddest things, Todd, not to belabor this, one of the saddest things you ever told me, and you were sort of joking about it. Maybe you weren't joking, but I, like, wanted to cry after you told me this. The notion of you wearing the full Orthodox thing on a Saturday, having to look through the store window to watch college football.
That was the saddest ever. I was still Orthodox. I was about 17 years old. I was going to Yeshiva University at the time.
Of course you
were. I was about 17 or 18 years old, and I was still Orthodox at the time. And I was a huge college basketball fan, and Pitt was playing Georgetown in a huge Saturday afternoon game. And so I walked over to, like, St. Nicholas, which was like a huge Dominican street, and I was terrified, of course, because we were taught to be very terrified of the other people. You know, they were going to hurt us, you know, God forbid. So I walked over to St. Nicholas, and I looked through the window of the TV store where they had Pitt against Georgetown, and it was the game where there was a big fight at the end of the game. Do you remember that game? There was like a giant fight with like 5 seconds left.
Jerome
Lane and Charles Smith and everything. We had an awesome team, Pitt against Georgetown, and you know, I had to watch it through the window. I mean, it was a very, very, but the biggest thing I'm really most upset about, and this will be in my class action suit against my mother and all the other mothers in the community, I am very, very upset that I didn't get to be the quarterback at Alderdice, Martin's alma mater. And I was better than the kid who played quarterback. His name was Tad Granata. Great kid. Used to play basketball and football with him all the time up at the JCC. I was much better than him. He was the starting quarterback, and I would have been the starting quarterback. Could you imagine my mother taking that opportunity away from me? She deserves to lose every asset she ever had in a class action suit.
Child abuse.
It is child abuse.
Where would you go live if she lost her house?
That would be a problem, but I'm sure you would take me in.
He didn't think it through.
That might be a problem, but I'm sure you would take me in because you are a man of the, you know, you try to help the poor and the wounded and everything like that. You know, you're a big believer in, you know,
whatsoever
Jesus.
Whatsoever you do.
All right. Final question, because we're over time here, 7 minutes. Final question. If we lived in a bizarro world and we had to bet on a side on each and every one of these 16 games, remember, no more buys. Everybody's playing starting tonight. But you were allowed one free pass, one game. You could make 15. You had to make 15 bets. But there was one game on the side where you're like, you know what? This is the game I would not touch ever. What game would that be, Adam?
100% the Dallas Cowboys, because it looks so tempting to bet against the Bengals with Brandon Allen. They just look horrendous offensively. But how can you trust Dallas in any game the rest of the season? So I, even though that number looks a little short, I couldn't do it.
By the way, my pick for the big favorite, most likely to lose outright, if anyone cares, was Tampa Bay as well. Mike, game you want?
Same answer.
Same game.
I don't know what to make of that game. I can't play the Bengals, and yet I can't play the Cowboys either. What are you going to get out of either side? I tell you, if you held a gun to my head, I'd probably take Cincinnati, but I'm not playing it.
No one uses that phrase anymore. Have you noticed everybody stopped using that at the same time? Maybe. Gun to the head thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Socially conscious.
Because everyone's walking around strapped.
Well, most people have knives. Knives now, Todd, for hand to hand.
Shivs, Todd. All right, Todd, what is your pick?
I would probably go with the Cardinals against the Giants. I'm not sure what's happened to my boy, Kyler. He doesn't want to run anymore. That was what was making him so dynamic, his ability to run and also throw the football. So I'm a little worried about that team. On the other side, I have the Giants who've been playing well defensively, but Colt McCoy is still the quarterback who, you know, he's a good game manager and all, but I'm not really sure what to make of this football game, so I'm going to stay away.
It was a toss-up for me between Cardinals, Giants, and Denver and Carolina, but I think it's Cardinals, Giants. I don't know if Kyler Murray is hurt or not, and so for that reason,
oh yeah, he might be hurt. Also, that's the other thing.
Yeah,
Adam, is he hurt?
He's got the shoulder issue, but I've never seen someone downplay an injury as consistently as he has, and he says that defenses have just figured out Kingsbury and they're making him hand the ball off. But that seems like an odd excuse that the Cardinals, with this offensive genius as the coordinator, would be able to figure out. But I think there's something more to it.
Yeah, I'd say that game because of that. Arizona Giants. By the way, James Conner is back for your Steelers, Todd. Just want to point that out for this game. That change your mind at all?
I was never a big fan of his. And I don't think the running back, unless you're a superstar running back, the running back is not the key to the offensive, the run game. The key to the run game is the offensive line. If you can't open holes, it doesn't matter who you have back there, unless you have like Barry Sanders. If you don't have something like special, you can't run the ball if you can't open holes. There are no holes. What'd you say, Mike? I can't hear Mike.
I can't hear you, Mike. Oh. Yeah, no, we can hear you now.
What did you say, Mike?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, what did you say?
Nothing. Go ahead. Edit it.
Just go, Todd. What did you want to say?
Nothing. I was just saying if there's no holes to run through, you can't run. So it doesn't matter if James Conner or whoever comes out. Franco Harris could come back. You can't run.
All right. We'll end it on that. Anything to say, Mikey?
No, it was really nice to have Adam on.
He does
a terrific job, not just on the NFL, but on a variety of sports. And, you know, he's had a little bit of a tough season with a big bounce back here. But people have to understand that there's going to be ebbs and flows, even for the best in the world at doing this. And you have to be able to understand that and get yourself through it and not change the way that you approach or manage your money or look at these games.
That's right. Adam, you do a tremendous job with the podcast. When you named it, when you named it the Simple Handicap, there must have been a reason for that title specifically. What was it?
It was actually a whole article series that I was doing, and I originally put it on like the Amazon Alexa devices, but the premise was that it was going to be just a quick, concise podcast every morning and it was just explaining the easiest way for both of the teams to win or what their success was within the handicap. So it was the most simplistic handicap of each game, which people could use, because I think that sports betting media in general does like an unfortunate job of making everyone really overthink a lot of games. And so the premise was that it was just going to be a spot where you could listen every morning and sort of focus on the simplest handicap for each game.
Love it.
And that sort of built into an article series and the podcast.
You know, Adam, I had the idea that I was going to do maybe like a 15-minute at night recap of like in-game bets and stuff like that. Now, I was too lazy to do it, of course. But have you found like success with that, like, you know, getting people to, you know, do your downloads every day, like habitually kind of?
Yeah, they say it just becomes a part of their day or routine. And like it's growing each day and every week, not at a spectacular rate, but the retention from people has been really, really good over the course of the last three seasons. So it's kind of become its own little community, and it's pretty neat to see people hang on to it.
And what time of day is it available typically?
I post it every morning before 6 a.m. Eastern.
Oh, wow.
So pretty much anyone who's waking up and on their way to work gets the full report every single morning, just as sort of a little quick briefing to stay in touch with the markets.
Adam,
is it just NFL?
Just NFL. I'm always thought about doing something for basketball as well, but I've just always done it for NFL.
NFL is king. No matter how good always. The other sports are, it's amazing. Yep. I can do the best baseball show in the history of mankind. Ceiling of listeners.
Yeah, we heard that basketball. When Todd and I wanted to do one.
What's that?
Todd and I wanted to do a baseball show, and we were told nobody gives a
nobody cares
about anything but football.
It's really true. If you whisper the word football, it soars over what you could do.
I don't know why they don't like college basketball, because it's an amazing sport, and if you just watch, I mean, it's ridiculous, college basketball.
Well,
but whatever.
You can start your college basketball podcast then.
I know, but then I would have to work and do something and, you know, effort. There would be effort involved. You know, I've had a lot of effort in my life, and I'm on the downside. I'm a retired kind of guy.
Adam Chernoff, everybody. Adam, thank you so much for doing this, man. I appreciate it so much. Keep the good work.
Thanks, guys. That was a ton of fun. Appreciate it again for the opportunity.
Simple Handicap is the name of the podcast. For Mike Palm, thank you, Mikey. Thank you for having us at the D.
Thank you.
Thank you, Todd Wisnev from the Cork Attic in Pittsburgh, PA. Appreciate it. Thank you all so much for listening. Good luck with all your Week 14 bets in the NFL, Survivor and beyond.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.